Best Legacy and Campaign Board Games Ranked 2026. Imani here, I brought the receipts, the table test, and one strong opinion. A true legacy game changes permanently. You write on the board, tear up cards, peel one-time stickers, and most are one-and-done experience for a single committed group. A campaign game is resettable. It tells a long story, Gloomhaven, Sleeping Gods, Ian's End, Legacy, but you can box it up and replay. Both demand the same scarce resource, the same people at the same table again and again. Okay, so, pull up a chair, not that one, the wobbly one with the dent we swore we'd fix session 3. You know what? That wobbles canon now. That's the whole thing about legacy games nobody posts about until you're 3 sessions in. They don't stay asterisk in the box. They get into asterisk your group asterisk. They become the inside joke you're texting about at 11 p.m., the villain everyone's still mad at, the moment someone tore a card and the whole table actually gasped at the same time. Here's what you're actually buying, a board game with a memory. You play one night and the game is permanently different, stickers you can't peel off, names you wrote in pen that now belong to the board forever, cards you're allowed to destroy, envelopes you'll never reseal. A campaign game is the kinder version, same long story, same momentum, but you can reset it after, hand it to friends, run it again. Same emotional beats, replayable ending. The community keeps saying the exact same thing and honestly they're right, the legacy isn't the box, it's the people you opened it with. What I've got below is the asterisk actual asterisk ranking, not the cheapest, not the easiest to teach, the ones that work. I've weighed the story, how much commitment they're asking from your actual humans, some of these will cost you a weekend's restaurant budget, and the brutal fact that kills most legacy campaigns. It only works if the same people keep showing up. A campaign that stalls at session 5 because 2 people ghosted, that's the worst shelf warmer in the hobby. I'm flagging which games demand the most loyalty, which ones forgive flakiness, and where every dollar actually goes. Bring your people, bring snacks, bring a pen. Let's find the box that's going to get written about in your group chat for years. If this guide helps, using the Amazon links on the page is a simple way to support Puzzlewick at no additional cost to you. What's the difference between a legacy game and a campaign game? This is the question that starts every argument at the table, so let's settle it like family. A legacy game changes permanently asterisk. The rules will at some point tell you to do something irreversible. Write on the board with a pen, affix a sticker that will never peel clean, tear a card to confetti, open a sealed envelope you can never reseal. Once you finish, that copy is asterisk yours forever, a fingerprinted artifact of the exact choices your group made. Pandemic Legacy, Risk Legacy, Charterstone, My City Clank. Legacy, Seafall, and The King's Dilemma all live here. Most are a one-time experience, one campaign, one group, then it's a keepsake, or you buy a fresh copy to play again. A campaign game tells a long, persistent story across many sessions, your characters level up, the world unfolds, your decisions carry forward, but nothing is destroyed. You track progress on a log sheet or with reusable components, and when you're done you can reset and replay or hand it to friends. Gloomhaven, Frosthaven, Sleeping Gods, Oathsworn, and Kingdom Death, Monster are campaign games, Gloomhaven famously uses stickers but is designed to be resettable. The Gray Zone has a nickname the community loves. Green Legacy or Reset Legacy, games like My City and Ian's End, legacy that give you the one-time asterisk thrill asterisk of permanent feeling change in the campaign, then flip to a fully replayable, eternal mode afterward. Best of both worlds. No buyer's remorse. The simplest test I tell everyone, if finishing it means you can't put it back the way it came, it's legacy. If you can reset and replay, it's campaign. Permanence is the feeling, resettability is the fact. Permanence is the whole point, and people fight me on this. There's a loud camp that says just don't destroy the components, problem solved. I hear you, and I will gently disagree. The irreversibility is the asterisk emotion asterisk. The gasp when someone tears the card. The dread of a sticker you can't unstick. A resettable version of Pandemic Legacy would be a good game. The legacy version is an unforgettable one. You're not buying cardboard, you're buying the only copy that will ever have your group's story on it. Buy 2 copies if you already know you'll want a rerun for true one-and-done legacy titles, Pandemic Legacy, Risk Legacy. A second sealed copy is the only way to replay with a fresh group later. Plenty of fans grab one when it goes on sale specifically so a future friend group can have the blind experience too. Which legacy board game should I start with? If you've never peeled a permanent sticker in anger, start with Pandemic Legacy, Season 1, full stop. It's the consensus on-ramp for a reason. The base game, Cooperative Pandemic, is easy to teach. The legacy layer reveals itself one gentle step at a time, and the story has genuine, dramatic weight. You play across roughly 12 to 24 sessions. The calendar runs January-December, with months you may replay. Failure isn't a reset, it's an asterisk consequence asterisk. Cities get sicker, characters pick up permanent scars, the map evolves to match your group's specific disaster. Critics have called it the gold standard of the format since it landed, and Shut Up and Sit Down's verdict has long been that board games don't come much better. If Pandemic's cooperative tension isn't your table's vibe, 2 other excellent front doors. Clank. Legacy, Acquisitions Incorporated, a riotous funny deck-building dungeon dive that drip-feeds new content over 10 to 12 games, and My City, a breezy 30-minute Tetris Y City Builder by Rianer Nizia that's the friendliest, lowest-stakes way to feel the Legacy magic, and it's fully replayable afterward. What I'd asterisk not hand a first-timer, Gloomhaven magnificent but a 95-scenario tactical commitment, Frosthaven even bigger, or Kingdom Death, monster, expensive, brutal, and very much for grown-ups. Earn your way up to those. Lock your roster before Session 1. The single biggest predictor of finishing a Legacy game isn't the game, it's roster stability. Before you crack Pandemic Legacy, get a verbal commitment from your group. Same 2 to 4 people, a recurring night, 12-ish sessions. Empty seat substitutions are awkward in a story where your specific characters carry scars. Treat the schedule like a book club with stakes. Season 1, then maybe skip to Season 0. Season 2 and Season 0 are standalone. You don't need to own or finish Season 1 to play them. But the community's heart belongs to Season 1 first. Many rank Season 0, the Cold War spy prequel, as the most polished of the three and a fantastic second helping once you've got one campaign under your belt. Is Gloomhaven worth it, and how is it different from Frosthaven and Jaws of the Lion? Gloomhaven is the tactical RPG Everest. And yes, it's worth it if asterisk you and a steady crew want 100+ hours of the best card-driven combat in the hobby. It dethroned Pandemic Legacy for the one spot on Board Game Geek and has spent years at the top of the rankings. You get 95+ branching scenarios, 17 unlockable classes, some sealed in literal boxes you can't open until you earn them, a persistent city that levels with you, and a campaign measured in months. The catch is the catch of all great big games: setup, table space, and a group willing to keep showing up. It's a campaign game, not strictly Legacy. It uses stickers and one-time envelopes, but it's designed to be resettable and replayable. Same brilliant combat, complexity stripped back, a learn-as-you-go tutorial built into the first scenarios, till the 25 scenarios you'll finish in roughly 12 to 14 depending on choices, and it plays right in the box. If you're gloom curious, start here, not with the monster box, the main event. It is more Gloomhaven in every direction, including the price and the table footprint. My honest steer, Jaws of the Lion to fall in love, Gloomhaven to commit, Frosthaven only once you know your group can finish a 100-scenario campaign without losing the thread. Frosthaven's frozen box art, sequel to a legend most people should buy Jaws of the Lion, not Gloomhaven, I'll say the quiet part loud. The big Gloomhaven box intimidates groups into never starting, and an unstarted campaign is worse than a finished small one. Jaws of the Lion gives you tilde 90% of the magic at a fraction of the price, setup, and commitment. Buy the lion, beat the lion, then decide if you've earned the mountain. Use the Legal Companion app, it cuts setup dramatically. Gloomhaven and Frosthaven both have an officially sanctioned helper app, Gloomhaven Helper /Xhaven, that automates monster stats, initiative, and scenario bookkeeping. Groups consistently report it, shaving 20 to 30 minutes off setup and upkeep per night. For a campaign this long, that's hours of your life back and the difference between finishing and fizzling. Which Legacy games are the best value and which will empty your wallet? Let's talk money, because the spread here is enormous and the community is refreshingly blunt about it. The big box investments clank. My City's tiles spill out, ready to build a town episode by episode. Wait for the sale on the big boxes clank. None of these are time-limited stories. There's zero penalty for buying in 3 months at 30% off. Set a price alert and pounce. The cost isn't the box, it's the calendar, the wisdom the community repeats most. The real price of a Legacy game is the dozen-plus evenings of everyone's time. Budget the asterisk nights before you budget the dollars. Can you replay a Legacy game after you finish it? Mostly no, and that's the deal you sign when you peel the first sticker. Here's the honest breakdown by type: One and Done, True Legacy, Pandemic Legacy, All Seasons, Risk Legacy, Charterstone, Seafall, Clank. Legacy and The King's Dilemma are designed for an asterisk single campaign with a single group. You write on them, sticker them, tier cards, open envelopes. When you reach the end, your copy is a finished artifact. To play the full blind experience again, you buy a fresh copy. Some, like Charterstone and Risk Legacy, do leave you with a fully built game you can keep playing as a normal, non-Legacy game afterward, just without the discovery. Reset Legacy, Green Legacy, My City and Ian's End, Legacy give you the one-time Legacy campaign and then unlock a permanent, fully replayable mode, My City's Eternal Boards. Ian's End folds into the broader, replayable Ian's End system. You get the thrill once and a keeper forever. Campaign games fully replayable: Gloomhaven, Frosthaven, Sleeping Gods, Oathsworn, and Kingdom Death. Monster can be reset and replayed, different classes, different choices, different paths. Sleeping Gods in particular is built to be rerun with new routes through its atlas, and you can swap players in and out mid-campaign without breaking anything. So if replayability matters most to your group, lean campaign Gloomhaven, Sleeping Gods, or Reset Legacy, My City. If you want the once-in-a-lifetime asterisk gut punch and don't mind it being a keepsake, the True Legacy titles are worth every irreversible sticker. You can't replay it is a feature, not a bug. People treat one and done as a knock against legacy games. I think it's the magic. A movie doesn't refund you for only being good once. The non-replayability is asterisk why every choice carries weight. There are no take backs, no saves coming, no next time. You played it. It happened. It's yours. That scarcity is the whole emotional engine. Photograph your final board before you shelve it. Whatever you finish, take a group photo with the completed scarred-up board, the My City skyline you built, the risk map you bled over, the Charterstone village with everyone's signatures. It's the closest thing the hobby has to a yearbook. Months later, that photo brings the whole campaign rushing back. What's the best legacy or campaign game for a regular gaming group? This is the asterisk real asterisk question. Because legacy games live or die on roster stability. The best pick depends on how reliable your group is and what you love, for a rock-solid, every-week group that wants an epic. Gloomhaven or Frosthaven, 100-plus scenarios is heaven if you know the same crew shows up, and a tragedy if it doesn't. These reward consistency more than any games on this list. For a tight cooperative group of 2 to 4 that wants drama, not bookkeeping, Pandemic Legacy, Season 1, 12-ish months, deeply story-driven, everyone's in it together against the board. The gold standard for a reason. For a bigger, talky, social group of 4 to 5 who love negotiation and politics, The King's Dilemma 3 to 5, Best at 5, Secret Agendas, Voting, a branching political saga where no two campaigns open the same envelopes. It needs the higher headcount to sing. For a flaky but fun group with unreliable attendance, Sleeping Gods 1 to 4, fully resettable, drop-in, drop-out friendly, or My City short 30-min sessions, low stakes if someone misses a night. Sleeping Gods literally lets you swap players in and out mid-voyage and pick up exactly where you left off. For two people who play together constantly, Ian's End, Legacy excellent at 1 to 2, or again, the Haven line all play beautifully at 2. The brutal truth I'll repeat one more time. Match the game's asterisk commitment to your group's asterisk reliability asterisk, not your group's ambition. The most finished legacy game is the one your actual humans can actually sustain, Jaws of the Lion. The standalone gateway into the Gloomhaven world, the drop-in test, can a missed night survive? Before committing, ask, what happens if someone can't make a session? Sleeping Gods and Gloomhaven let you continue with whoever's present. Pandemic Legacy and The King's Dilemma strongly prefer the same full table every time because your specific asterisk characters' houses carry the story. Pick a game whose attendance demands your group can realistically meet. The most common way a legacy game ends is not finishing it. Across forums and reviews, the same lament recurs. Enthusiasm dwindles, a couple of nights get skipped, the box goes back on the shelf at game 7 and never comes down. It's the genre's signature heartbreak. The fix isn't a better game, it's a recurring date on the calendar and a group that treats it like a standing commitment. Final verdict. If you buy one legacy game in your life, buy Pandemic Legacy. Season 1, it's the gold standard, the easiest on-ramp, and the most likely to leave your group telling stories about it years later. If your crew is steady and hungry for the deepest possible campaign, Gloomhaven, with Jaws of the Lion as the gateway, is the tactical Everest worth climbing. And if your group's attendance is more hope than guarantee, Sleeping Gods forgives every missed night. But hear me one last time, because it's the truest thing in this whole guide. The best legacy game isn't the one with the highest Board Game Geek rank, it's the one your actual humans will actually finish. Match the box to your group's loyalty, put a recurring date on the calendar, and let the game start remembering you. Bring your people, bring snacks, bring the marker, still deciding. Take the game finder, answer 7 quick questions, and the cabinet hands you the one board game built for your table, with a buy link and your own shareable player talisman. Frequently asked questions. What is the difference between a legacy game and a campaign game? A legacy game changes permanently, you write on the board, peel one-time stickers, tier cards, or open sealed envelopes, and the changes can't be undone. A campaign game tells a long, persistent story across sessions but is resettable. Your characters progress and the world unfolds, but nothing is destroyed, so you can box it up and replay. The simple test, if finishing it means you can't reset it, it's legacy. If you can reset and replay, it's campaign. Pandemic Legacy and Risk Legacy are true legacy. Gloomhaven and Sleeping Gods are campaign games. What is the best legacy board game? It's a cooperative campaign where failure permanently scars the board. Cities stay sick, characters earn lifelong wounds, and the story builds to real dramatic weight. It teaches in minutes and reveals its legacy layer gradually, making it the ideal first legacy game. For the deepest campaign instead, Gloomhaven 95-plus scenarios is the tactical RPG pinnacle. Can you replay a legacy game after finishing it? Usually not in the same way. True legacy games, Pandemic Legacy, Risk Legacy, Clank, Legacy, The King's Dilemma are built for one campaign with one group to replay the blind experience you buy a fresh copy, though some leave you a playable non-legacy game afterward. Reset legacy games like My City and Ian's End, Legacy unlock a fully replayable mode after the campaign. Campaign games like Gloomhaven, Frosthaven, and Sleeping Gods are fully resettable and replayable with new classes, choices, and routes. What is the best legacy or campaign game for a regular gaming group? For a rock-solid weekly group wanting an epic, Gloomhaven or Frosthaven reward consistency more than anything. For a tight cooperative group of 2 to 4 that wants drama over bookkeeping, Pandemic Legacy, Season 1. For a bigger social group of 4 to 5 who love politics and negotiation, The King's Dilemma. For groups with unreliable attendance, Sleeping Gods Drop-In Drop-Out Friendly or My City Short Low-Stakes Sessions. The Golden Rule: match the game's commitment to your group's reliability, not its ambition. The most finished legacy game is the one your actual humans can sustain. Which legacy game should a beginner start with? Pandemic Legacy, Season 1. Its cooperative Nobody Gets Left Behind teaches in minutes and introduces its legacy mechanics one gentle step at a time while delivering a genuinely dramatic story. If cooperative tension isn't your vibe, Clank, Legacy Funny Deck Building Dungeon Dive or My City Breezy 30-Minute Family City Builder are excellent friendlier alternatives. Avoid Gloomhaven, Frosthaven, and Kingdom Death, Monster as first legacy games, earn your way up to those. How long does a legacy game campaign take to finish? It varies widely. My City runs 24 short 30-minute episodes, Pandemic Legacy is roughly 12 to 24 sessions of 45 to 60 minutes, Risk Legacy is a 15-game campaign, The King's Dilemma is 14 sessions, Clank, Legacy is 10 to 12 games of 90 to 120 minutes. Gloomhaven is the marathon at 95-plus scenarios and 100-plus hours, with Frosthaven even longer at 138 scenarios. Budget the calendar honestly, most campaigns want a dozen-plus dedicated evenings. Is Gloomhaven a legacy game or a campaign game? Technically a campaign game, not a pure legacy game. It uses stickers and one-time sealed envelopes that feel legacy-like, but it's designed to be reset and replayed with different classes and choices. The persistent campaign, leveling characters, and unlockable content give it the legacy feeling asterisk, but unlike Pandemic Legacy, you don't permanently destroy your copy, you can run the whole campaign again. What is the most expensive legacy or campaign board game? Judge by price per finished session, not price per box. Do you need the same players every session for a legacy game? For true legacy games like Pandemic Legacy and The King's Dilemma, strongly yes, your specific characters or houses carry the story, scars, and secret goals, so swapping people mid-campaign is awkward. Campaign games are more forgiving. Sleeping Gods is explicitly drop-in drop-out and lets you swap players freely, and Gloomhaven can continue with whoever's present that night. Roster stability is the single biggest predictor of finishing a legacy game. Lock your group before session 1. What is a green legacy or reset legacy game? It's the hybrid sweet spot. A game that gives you the one-time asterisk thrill asterisk of permanent feeling legacy change during the campaign, then unlocks a fully replayable mode afterwards so nothing is wasted. My City is the classic example, 24 legacy episodes. Then a pre-printed, eternal board for endless replay. Eon's End Legacy works similarly, folding into the broader replayable Eon's End system. You get the legacy gut punch once and a permanent keeper forever. Are Pandemic Legacy Seasons 1, 2, and 0 connected? Do I need to play them in order? No, each is fully standalone and you don't need to own or finish one to play another. Season 0 is a Cold War prequel, Season 2 jumps decades after Season 1, and there are light narrative threads between them but no required order. That said, most fans recommend Season 1 first, it's the emotional cornerstone, then Season 0, which many, including critics at Shut Up and Sit Down, consider the most polished of the trilogy. Is Kingdom Death Monster appropriate for all groups? No, it's strictly adults only and not for everyone. Kingdom Death Monster is a brilliant, deep survival campaign game, but it carries a distinctly dark, mature tone with explicit gore, nudity, and adult themes. It explores subjects like childbirth complications, mental health, and mortality. Know your table before bringing it out.